Now, before the sermon, I want to read you a very brief quotation I found since I began work on this sermon. It's from Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of our Unitarian Universalist saints. Here's what he writes. Crossing a bare common in snow puddles at twilight under a clouded sky, without having in my thoughts any occurrence of special good fortune, I have enjoyed a perfect exhilaration. I am glad to the brink of fear. Now, we lived in upstate New York, and we lived in New Jersey, and we lived in Massachusetts, and I walked through a lot of snow puddles, but I have never been glad to the brink of fear. Ralph Waldo Emerson is an interesting person. If you read his famous Divinity School address, it begins with a whole paragraph about what he called the fulsome of nature. He was somehow very much tuned to the beauty of the natural world. Several years ago, Betty and I visited my older brother who lives in Montrose, Colorado. Montrose, Colorado, in the southwest corner of Colorado, is very close to Black Canyon. Black Canyon is described as big enough to be overwhelming, still intimate enough to feel the pulse of time. Black Canyon was formed by the Gunnison River. The Gunnison River is part of the Gunnison Wildlife Refuge Park. Over 2 million years ago, that river carved out through the rock this unusual canyon. The canyon gets its name because on each side is very black rock, and the canyon is not very wide. It's very narrow. The guidebook says it was 33 million years ago when it began. Someone at the Park Service wrote, "Several canyons of the American West are longer and some are deeper, but none combines the depth, sheerness, narrowness, darkness, and dread of Black Canyon." It was interesting to me because that was an awesome experience for me when I went there. I could not believe that. It was really overwhelming. It's not as beautiful as Grand Canyon, which I visited two or three times. But nonetheless, I was awestruck by the depth, by the beauty, by the very deep but black rocks all around. Now, as you might guess, being a national park, there was a concession stand. And the concession stand had for sale sweatshirts, and I bought one. It says, "Wisdom or advice from Black Canyon. Carve out a place for yourself. Aspire to new plateaus. Stand the test of time. Don't get boxed in. It's okay to be a little off the wall. Reach deep and listen to the voice of the wind." All those are on this sweatshirt. Seems to me that's good advice for anybody who wants to be a canyon, and particularly good advice if you want to be a real human being. Black Canyon is a place to experience awe, and I believe it's a place to experience the possibility of spiritual understanding. Well, what is awe? Someone once wrote, "Awe is vibrant aliveness." Several months ago, there was an article in the New York Times about awe, and it was described as that goosebumpy feeling of wonder. I am not Ralph Waldo Emerson. I do not have that kind of sensitivity, I'm sorry to say. But I have on occasion experienced awe. And usually it's in times of nature or music for me. Once Betty and I were at the Mercer National Wildlife Refuge. We were standing on the side of a small lake. A pond was covered with sandhill cranes just floating very quietly. And suddenly, as though shot, they all took off right over our head. It was an awesome, exhilarating experience. Maybe you've had that kind of experience. Maybe like the Native American people in Chemung County, New York. They found a dinosaur bone, and they found it was awesome. A few minutes ago, Betty read for us a little selection from an unusual book called The Little Book of Atheist Spirituality. Atheist spirituality would be a good topic for another sermon someday. What's interesting to me about the book is that this reading is about awe from a man who claims to be an atheist. He begins the book, he's a French philosopher, André Comte-Sponville is a French philosopher. He begins the book, he ends the book by declaring he is an atheist. And yet he had a whole chapter on atheist spirituality, and that's where this reading is found. He describes an awesome experience which he had walking in the woods one evening. But ministers at Black Canyon and French philosophers aren't the only people who have awesome experiences. In his most recent book, I think, called Waking Up, Sam Harris also had an experience. Now, if you don't know Sam Harris, you ought to. He's a very vociferous critic of religion. He doesn't like us folks. But he had an awesome experience. Here's how he describes it. As I gazed at the surrounding hills, a feeling of peace came over me. It soon grew to a blissful stillness that silenced my thoughts. In an instant, the sense of being a separate self, an I or a me, vanished. But awesome experience need not be limited to philosophers or ministers or authors. Guess what? A couple of years ago, two psychology professors, one at the University of Irvine, California, one of University of California in Berkeley, wrote an article about awe. They said that awe is an antidote to individualistic, self-focused materialism. Think about that. Hear what they wrote. We suggest that people insist on experiencing more everyday awe. Actively seek out what gives you goosebumps. Be it looking at trees, night skies, patterns of wind on the water, or the nobility of others. André Comte-Sponville, French philosopher, Sam Harris, critic of religion, two psychologists at the University of California campuses, all encourage us to seek out awe-filled experiences. And I think the key may well be focus. Now think about focus. A good illustration is what happens if you have a magnifying glass and a piece of paper and the sun. You can focus the sun's rays through that magnifying glass until it literally sets the paper on fire. The wisdom from Black Canyon is to reach deep, to aspire to new platforms. I think that has to do with focus. I think it has to do with paying attention. You remember those great lines from Elizabeth Barrett Browning? I bet we all learned them in high school. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. That's four little lines, a quatrain about focus. Someone once wrote, attention is the chief means by which our souls encounter God. Now, if that sounds a bit too religious, I just want to remind us that we've just read about, heard about couple of philosophers who are atheists. Why am I talking about this? I'm talking about it because in my experience of 20 years as a Unitarian Universalist, I think I've heard too many Unitarian Universalists make fun of spirituality that disparage the notion of spirituality. They want to say something like, prove it. It seems to me in some ways awe is similar to spirituality. It's something that goes beyond the normal. One place to begin to understand spirituality, even if you're an atheist, you don't have to be a theist. One place to begin is to reach deep. Or as Black Canyon sweatshirt says, be a little off the wall. Now, if all of that isn't enough, then I go back to Jane Wagner's marvelous words, which I read as the opening words for this service. I love that play in Trudy the Bag Lady. Lily Tomlin, you remember her, played that Trudy the Bag Lady? Trudy stopped to look at the stars and experienced awe infinitum. Now, how many people you suppose went to the play that night and did not stop to look at the stars? How many times do we walk past this lovely rose garden out here and not notice it? How many times do we see the sun setting and not really notice it? How many times has this chalice been lighted 104 years in this marvelous place? How many times, as a meaning of the awesome experience of open-minded faith and religious understandings which bring us together without doctrine? That's what lighting the chalice is all about. If you want to know the truth, the chalice is nothing more than oil and wick and oxygen and fire, that's all. If you're scientific minded, that's what it is. But when it is lighted in a service, it takes on another meaning. It's an awesome experience, or has the possibility of being an awesome experience of spirituality. There's a scientific philosopher who most of you probably have heard about, Ludwig Wittgenstein. He said it best. Listen to this. Mysticism wonders not how the world is, but that the world is. Not how the world is, but that the world is. I'm convinced that one step towards spiritual growth, point of all of this I've said, philosophers, psychologists, authors, one step towards spiritual growth is daring to pay attention, daring to look, to focus. My personal testimony, I don't know how many times I've sat through the lighting of a chalice in a Unitarian Universalist service and wondered, is the lighter going to work? How many times have I sat there and wondered, is it going to keep lighting? I failed to experience the possibility of awe because I was paying attention to the wrong thing. How many times have I sung words to great hymns and really failed to notice what they were saying? And every time that has happened to me, I have missed an opportunity for awesome exhilaration and spiritual growth. I've been wondering about that. Why is it? Why is it that I've done that? Why have I missed those opportunities? And I think it may be true for me and maybe for you. I think the reason may be that we have too often substituted thinking for feeling. Now, I'm not talking about emotionalism. I'm reminding ourselves that we're not only thinking people, we're also feeling people. I used to, in my younger days, disparage the banner parade at the General Assembly. All the different churches carrying the banners around the aisles, and I thought, isn't that cute? But it finally dawned on me that I was thinking too much. That is an awesome experience of the celebration of community, of all the Unitarian Universalists across this great country coming together to celebrate being there. Gretchen Reynolds is an author who writes about fitness and wellness and health, and she encourages people to seek out opportunities for awesome experiences. She says, focus on music. Focus on seeing a flower. Focus on watching the sunset. She talks about the healthy possibilities of paying attention and having an awesome experience. Now that reminded me of some great lines from Forest Church, another of our Unitarian Universalist saints who died not many years ago. Forest Church has a great, great paragraph. I'll read part of it. Beyond the rational lies the transrational, past rational. We enter it in our dreams. We enter it in moments of worship. We enter it in singing when the tunes are good, even if the words are not. We enter the transrational in lovemaking and dancing and stargazing. Now, Forest Church is not suggesting that we be irrational. I'm not suggesting we have to give up thinking to have an awesome experience. I am suggesting, and I think Forest Church is suggesting, that there can be experiences, maybe even spiritual experiences, that go beyond rational thinking. In one of his short stories, John Updike describes our Unitarian faith. Be ready. He's harsh. He says, Unitarianism is milky, vague, evasive, unimpeachably featureless. Now, I think John Updike was making a point, was exaggerating to make a point. But does he have a point? Let me ask it this way. What excites you about Unitarian Universalism? What excites you about being part of this great congregation? What do you experience here in a service which takes you beyond the mundane affairs of life? I'm not suggesting we need to become Pentecostal. I'm not suggesting we have an emotionalistic experience. I'm suggesting we focus, we pay attention, we think about what's happening, and then we let it absorb us, infuse us with the possibility of awe. I'm really challenging myself and you to join Trudy the Bag Lady. Look at the stars. Amen, and thank you for listening.